Thank you, Brother Sexton. It's a great joy and a privilege of ours to be here at the Ridgeview Baptist Church. Amen. Well, it's Sunday morning, I was in the church, and I give it another name. I about had to run out the back door. Because missionaries, you know, you're in a lot of different churches, meet a lot of different people, and a lot of different pastors. But we thank God for the privilege of being here and being a part of your ministry here at the Ridgeview Baptist Church. And I thank God for the friendship and love and the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in Papua New Guinea and be a part of your worldwide evangelism program. Amen. And we do not count that lightly. We would not be able to do what we have been able to do in the last 12 years without you helping us. We thank God for that. Finances help, but you know the big thing that helps, or the thing that helps the most, is prayer. Amen. And I told somebody the other day that if it come to good looks and getting a bag of rice, I wouldn't make it. Amen. can't buy your food on your good looks, and you need money. And so we thank God for the opportunity to be a part of your ministry here. And I got about 5 minutes of slides I'd like to show, and then we'll get into the rest of the service and pray that God will be, I know God will be a blessing to you, but pray these slides will be a help and a blessing to you to let you know what we're doing there in Papua New Guinea. Like I said, we've been there 12 years. We spent all these 12 years on New Britain Island. We've been able to establish four churches and one mission work, the work that we started in November of this last year. And we started that work with just 9 folk, our 5 and about 4 or 5 others that came along in on that Sunday morning. And the last Sunday that was there before we came in for our daughter's wedding back in September. We had, I believe, 60 or 65 show up, and we thank God for that. Sister Jasmine, the Asian lady that you read about in our newsletter, she just got baptized back in November. And those of you that have been on a foreign field or been out of the United States, you know a lot of times that they, third world countries especially, they have different levels of culture, different levels of society. And New Guinea is somewhat that way. And so the higher echelon people are the Asian people, or the white or yellow skinned people, because they figure they don't look at my skin like white, they look at it like green. Amen. In their case, orange. Their money's orange. Amen. But they look at us as people with money and finance. So they look at Sister Jasmine that way too. She's from Singapore. She's Chinese background. And she began coming the end of November or around December time. And she has been as faithful as the sun coming up in the morning. Amen. She professed that she was saved. And her attitudes and her actions and her sincerity of coming to church leads us to believe that she is saved. And then this November, we received a message from the national pastor looking over our work at the moment, Brother Judah Pius, and he said, missionary, I'm baptized in, it was either 6 or 7 this morning, and one of them is Sister Jasmine. Amen. For her to lower herself down from this higher escalon and come down to the New Guinea level, let a New Guinea person baptize her, it takes a great step. Amen. I don't know what that does to you, but living amongst those people and seeing how that they treat those folk, the New Guinea people, they say, well, they're dirt, they're no good, and they got money and they won't share it. Well, just that kind of attitude. For them to, for her to come down to their level and let one of them baptize her is quite a step. Amen. And we thank God for that. Do continue to pray for her. She's provided a piece of ground for the church to build, meet at, was meeting at our house. But when we came in on from our daughter's I almost call it funeral, amen, wedding, she may think it is for us over with, amen. No, I was kidding. I may be looking for a funeral for Brother Matt to get hold of me on that one. But when we came in on that, we could no longer meet under the house. It was a rented house, and so we got an okay from the school system to meet at the school. But the first day Sister Jasmine walked on the school property, something smells around here. What smells? And come to find out, they had been dressing the fish off and cleaning the fish out there in the school room where they had let them meet. And so she said, this is not going to be enough. This is not good enough. And so right in the middle of town, kitty corner to where her store is, there's a building that belongs to her. It used to be the old power station building. And she had bought that building. And she said, we'll meet in this. And so they met inside. There was probably an auditorium building. It was probably about a third the size of this auditorium that she got. And they met there for a few months until they began to outgrow it. And they went and bought themselves a blue tarpaulin that you cover machines and things with in the wintertime. And she went and spread that thing out, and they outgrew that with bad weather and winds and things coming. And so now she donated a lot of copper material, roofing material. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I believe she really did get saved. Amen? And at least she's acting like she's acting more saved than a lot of preachers I know. Amen? But do pray for them. I want to show you these slides. I'll tell you a little bit more in a few moments. Amen? If this thing will work for me. Me and slide projections don't get along too well. Amen? Okay. It's only about 6 minutes long or so. So, okay. It's about 350,000 people that live on New Britain Island. This is what we're doing: church planning, personal soul winning, tract distribution, film ministry. We preach in the public schools on the streets. There's many different opportunities that we do. Our ministry is just not in on New Britain Island. We've had the opportunity to reach out in the capital city, Port Moresby. I was able to baptize 17 folk in 2010 that are members of the Lifegate Baptist Church. Amen. Now about compound, the community. About 3 hours away from our town of Biala, Brother Cosmos received Christ in 2010 as a result of our outreach ministry in the market. If I'm not preaching, we'll have one of the preachers there preach there, one of our church preachers. Bible Baptist Church in the town of Willalo, we averaged about 50 to 60 folk coming. Brother Psalm on the left-hand side got saved, I believe it was in 2001 or 2002. Brother Reggie Perota, his wife sitting in the back, they were looking out over that work. We had about 11 so folk come to know Christ as your Savior there at the Bible Baptist Church in Willalo. This is our town of Biala. Every day, I'm up and down that every day, Brother Sexton, up and down handing out gospel tracts. I have no idea how many hundreds or thousands that we hand out, but we hand them out there. Saturday is a family distribution day, hand out tracts. We at one time we had a preacher helping us, Brother Reggie. He's gone back to another area working as well. Great opportunity. You don't hand them a tract, they get mad at you and say, "Where's my tract at?" Amen. Hunt you down for one. Brother Judah Pius on the left hand side, this brother, is now looking over our work in our absence. Do pray for him. He's also a pastor on another island. That's a big story involved in how he came to meet our Sister Jasmine on the left, and some of our folk here, Sister Mary and her children. Sister Miriam on the right-hand side, her daughter. You maybe read in our prayer letters a story concerning her, how she prayed for a number of years for God to send a missionary to the town of Biala. Amen? That was her. A couple Asian ladies. Brother Marla received Christ as his Savior this last year. We spent 2 weeks in Popendetta. This is the end of the Cocoa Trail, a big turnaround for World War II, though as important, but not too important for us in mission work, amen? We was able to see 100 folk come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Brother Gershom, pastor of Sword Baptist Church. We showed the Burning Hell film 5 times. I preached 10 times there in their town and handed out many, many hundreds of gospel tracts. I don't know, maybe 2,000 or 3,000. I'm uncertain how many. But here I'm preaching in a market, a place, great response. Tremendous response there. Everybody stopped their marketing and just sat down and listened for the Word of God. When I was done, they dumped a bunch of food and clothing and whatever at our feet, and it took 7 people to carry the things back home. In the street, preaching there, the vehicle stopped, taxi stopped, heard the Word of God preached, many folks shook their hands, and all of them was excited to take tracts. And so, do pray for these people. I'm hoping that the 19,500 people that desperately need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They got one preacher there. There is one in the back side of town. But his doctrine isn't too good. Amen. But do pray for us. Some of the folks that got saved after our meetings, many times we have fellowship. There, sit around and eat. Amen. Brother Enoch, on the right-hand side. Been preaching for 10 years. When he showed up in Pope Vendetta, he came under deep conviction and said, missionary, I need to be saved. I had the opportunity of witnessing him and winning him to Christ. When he accepted Christ as his Savior, he literally jumped up and down and clapped his hands and shouted, I'm saved, I'm saved. And ran back to the church and testified that night about being saved. Had a host of men around him and testified. And to my knowledge, he's still shouting, amen. When I left, he's still praising God, amen. But there's a great need. Our airport, give you a little idea what it looked like. I didn't have that opportunity to see what the airport looked like when I went sight unseen. Amen. But many islands, 600 islands. A lot of them are inhabited. There's that burden, Matthew 28:19-20. To go and tell others of Christ. Amen. We do ask you to pray for the Andrews family as we serve there in Papua New Guinea. Say the grace later. Amen. We do trust and pray that those slides were a blessing and privilege. I was privileged to show them. And this is what we've been doing this last opportunity of being there in New Britain Island. You saw some of the folk from our work Bible Baptist Mission that was met under the house there. And like I said, how that work started was I was getting ready to go to our work in Willalo on Sunday morning. But and Saturday, when the guy that was looking over our truck, I'll back up in a moment. The guy that was looking over our vehicle was a good friend of ours. And he wrote me a letter and said, I need some money to take care of brakes and the starter and some other problems, which I knew the vehicle had problems. And so I didn't reluctantly send him money. I sent him money, but to fix all of that, the money that he asked for when we get there, none of that stuff was done. At least it didn't look like it done. And after driving the vehicle, I realized it had not been done. The brakes were not fixed. The starter was not fixed. The rotor on the left front, was cracked. He didn't take care of that at all. And so we was unable, to go to church Sunday morning. I, told my wife, I said, I don't know what we're gonna do. And she says, well, let's pray. Let's have service here. About 9 o'clock in the morning, they came banging on a chain fence there. And there's several New Guinea people come out and said, well, missionary, we come to go to church. We're ready to go. And I said, well, I'm ready too, but I'm not going to be able to go. And they said, what are we going to do? I said, well, let's just meet here and pray. And maybe in a week or two, we'll be able to go as soon as we can get this vehicle fixed to go. You see, it's very dangerous to drive those potholes and those roads. We've been 12 years there. God's preserved us, but you know, you don't want to put too much trial on it, or too much testing on it, amen. And, we have some roads that are pretty curving, pretty bad. If we lost our brakes and got in the car wreck and those folks, some of them might have been killed or hurt, we wouldn't be able to be here today. It's just very dangerous. They have something that they call a compensation, and they're very serious about that. And so, weighing the matter over and praying about it, we felt like it's best to stay back in the town of Biala. And so we held the first service under the house that morning, And the next Sunday, we held again. And to make a long story short, from 9 people that one Sunday morning, first Sunday in November, until we left, God just each week continually to grow that and save folk. And so today there's a Bible Baptist mission there in the town of Biala as a result of that one Sunday. So we know that it was the will of God. We felt like it was the will of God. And we was going to begin that anyhow, but God had his way with it. We started a little bit earlier than what we had planned on. Amen. But do pray for those folk there. We do ask you to pray for the folk in Pope and Dethru. I received a phone call this last week from Brother Gearsome, that you saw him there with his wife and family. His daughter Mercy had gotten saved. But down on the coast, the plan is to take the town of Pope and Dethru and reestablish it along the coast about an hour and a half away. Obviously, that's a big undertaking. And so they've got stores and whatnot built down there already. But the people, some of them were moved down there. But this brother was telling me that just a few weeks ago, he had the privilege of going down to the coastal area that they call Oro Bay. The Oro province, state of Oro, and he had the privilege of going down there and along the coastline. Some brother down there had showed him a piece of ground and said, "We need to have a Baptist church here, and we give you this piece of ground if you'll come and start a work here." Amen. And so the opportunity is there; it awaits, and we're looking forward to either going in that area, or there's another area, Brother Reggie Perota, you saw him out there as he's preaching at our work in Willalo. His village is called Gona, and it's about an hour or so from the town of Pope and Dethru down on the other side. And in that village, there never has been the gospel preached. He is like a chief in that village, and whatever he says goes. And he spoke to me back in January of last year and said, "Brother, if you'll come, you can build whatever kind of house you want." He says, "Whatever piece of ground you want, you tell us. I've already designated a piece of ground, but whatever size you want, you can have it. Just come to my village and start a church here. And when you do, I'm going to work with you." And Lord willing, he then would become the pastor through a number of years behind. So those opportunities are there, as well as the fact of those young preachers asking us to come and start a Bible school as well. And so there's many, many opportunities that await us still there in Pope and Dethru. So we do ask you to pray for the Andrews family. Those who you encouraged when we're headed back. I told the pastor and another brother, our plan was to head back in New Guinea when we came. Came back in last week of August, first week of September, for our daughter's wedding, and we was going to head back in January, but our sponsor rung us and told us that we needed to get our passports re-stamped with a New Guinea stamp, and so we had to send the passport off to the immigrations, and the last week or the week before last, we got our passports back, and so our pastor also asked us to hang around for Jubilee. Give us an opportunity to visit with the church, our home church a little bit, and try to meet some other pastors there. And so our plan is first or second week of April. That's what our desire is. So do pray that everything will work together where we can get back and do the work that God has called us to do there in Papua New Guinea. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles with you tonight, turn them if you will to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. And for just a few moments tonight, I appreciate the singing tonight. It was a real blessing to us. Amen. We was coming up here. My wife says, "Man, I sure hope that choir sings tonight." Amen. I don't know if that was the whole choir or not, but amen. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Amen. Only one problem. We only sung one song. You're supposed to sing two or three of them. Amen. Amen. But we thoroughly and fully enjoy that. It was a real blessing to us. But Matthew chapter number 27, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father tonight, we want to thank and bless you for this opportunity and privilege you have given to us to be able to be here at the Ridgeview Baptist Church. Thank you for this dear pastor, these dear people. Thank you for their stand on the King James Bible. Thank you, Father, for their stand on missions and church planning missions and supporting missions around this world. Father, we thank you. We do not take it lightly. We appreciate churches who have a burden and a concern about spreading the gospel around this world. Tonight we pray you'll help us to be a help to these people. And Father, we'll thank you and bless you. If there's somebody here that is not saved, we know that there is help here, Father. We know that they can come to an old-fashioned altar and trust Christ as their Savior. Before it's too late, we pray that you'll work in their hearts and lives and help them, Father, tonight to trust Christ. And that they may be cold and indifferent, backslid on you. I pray that you deal with their heart and God help them to see their need and come to Christ and do what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I sit back there thinking tonight that, you know, Pastor, I mean, I know you preach meetings around, you said there's 100 different things. You're sitting back there thinking, I want to say all of this when I get up there and you forget everything, don't you? Amen? I was sitting back there. One thought I had in my mind sitting back there thinking was, you know, the only reason I'm here tonight, I am trying to get somebody to surrender to go to New Guinea. Amen. New Guinea is not, somebody said it's the missionaries or the preacher's graveyard. And to be honest with you, if you look at it in that respect, it probably will be that for you. Any place that is outside of the will of God will become your graveyard. Amen? I believe that. New Guinea, we always, when we was living in the town of Kimby, driving back and forth to Biala, which you don't know where Kimby's located at, on our new prayer card, there's a map of Papua New Guinea on it. And you actually can see, Kimby and Awasi. Awasi is really the town down in the on the foothill of Biala, and it's 4 hours. It'll take you between. I've done it in an hour and a half, but I don't recommend anybody doing it in an hour and a half. I'm the stones, everything kicking up behind me. Amen. They couldn't see for 3 days. I think driving so fast, but I had something to take care of. But amen, I about took care of my own life on that trip. But it's approximately a 2.5 to 3 hour trip there. When we lived in Kimby, I'd meet missionaries from I call them secular missionaries. They really weren't doing what they were not church planting missionaries. There's missionaries of helps from some other group, and they say, "Oh, we don't envy you, but we pray for you as you head up the road." And I said, "I appreciate that." And they said, "Well, the thieves are out, and we've had some of our people stop by the road, and all their money stolen, and things of this nature." They said, "Have you ever been stopped on the highway?" And I said, "Not yet." Amen. I hope I don't. Amen. And so I tell them, I said, "Well, I'm headed to heaven." Amen. Papua New Guinea is the worst thing from heaven. I said, "I'm headed to heaven." Amen. And because that's what God had told us. That's the work and the place and the ministry that He put His hand upon us to minister. So because of that, because I was in the will of God and my family is in the will of God, it was like heaven to us. Amen. And if you are in the will of God, In this place will become like heaven to you, because it's you and God. Amen? Amen, church. Now, you can deny it if you want to, but amen. And I enjoy living in Ringo, Georgia. I mean, that's where our roots are. That's where our children are born there. Most of our children are born there. But brother and sister, you say America's heaven. To me, on the mission field, being where God wants us is heaven as far as this life is concerned. Amen? Because it's the will of God for us. And Matthew chapter number 27 tonight, I want to speak for just a little while to you tonight, God being a helper, on our relationship to the cross. What is our relationship? Oh, what should our relationship be to the cross? In Matthew 27, verse number 40, we could read several verses, but for sake of time tonight, just a few moments, but for sake of time tonight, verse number 40, the Bible said, And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse number 42, the Bible said, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. You know, He did come down from the cross, and they didn't believe Him, did they? Amen? He said in verse 42, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. Well, there's no need of saving himself. I mean, he's the Savior. He didn't, and you know, sometimes as you read the Word of God, then you look at the mind of some of the people and you say, where in the world did they come up with that thought? Amen? Well, they're lost. Lost mankind thinks like that, don't they? Amen? He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of the Jews, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. They had no more of intention of believing God than anything, did they? Amen. But yet, in verse number 40, the Bible said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." What is our relationship to the cross? When I think of the cross, brother and sister, tonight, first of all, the 28 times in our King James Bible, the word cross, C-R-O-S-S, is mentioned. Only 28 times that I have found, and looking up in the concordance, that only 28 times does this word cross show up. That doesn't look like very many times, but you know, many times, all the time, when God mentions something one time, we ought to pay attention to it, didn't we? Even though it's mentioned 28 times, the central theme of the Bible is the cross. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Our entire life revolves around the cross. This church revolves around the cross. I didn't look at the front of this pulpit, but most pulpits have the symbol of the cross. The cross always has one, I always puts one thought in the mind of man. It puts the thought of God there. Amen? You can head down the highway and you can see a Roman Catholic church and they got all this flowery design around it and a cross, and we tend to get upset and we say they have no idea what they're talking about because they've taken a symbol that we use, something that's found in the Word of God, something that in a few moments that we base our relationship on, and they have muddied it up. They've destroyed it. They've given up bad vibes about it. But yet, when we see the cross, we are reminded that the cross of Jesus Christ is real. Amen. This cross is not a happy thing. It represents death. It represents torture. It represents pain. It represents evil. It represents rebellion. Down through history, many people have been hung on a cross. Years ago, I didn't grow up in the Old West. Amen. I'm glad I didn't. Amen. I'd have been hung. Amen. But down through history, man has always had some symbol of torture concerning the strength of evil or wickedness that a man has performed, and taken that man and made him a public display. They, in the Old West, they'd hang people and say, this is what happened, out in the public square, and say, this is what happens for this type of action. In the Middle East, if you committed a thievery, they'll cut your finger off as a public reminder. That man stole and reminds himself not to steal again. And even so, as we go back even further in New Testament days and maybe days beyond New Testament times, the cross was a symbol that individual hanging on that cross was a vile person. He committed a crime which hurt society. And yet they hung Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And he did no wrong, did he? Everything he did was right. The only crime he committed was his love that he had for you and I. Amen? And so, we, down through history, many people have been hung on cross to be advertised in open shame to their society for some crime that they had committed. Even though the cross represents pain and separation, yet the cross of Christ brings mankind much joy because of what our relationship to it brings. So, for just a few moments tonight, I bring just a few thoughts out and be done with them tonight. As we think about the cross of Christ, And I'm not, that's 28, like I said, 28 times where the cross is mentioned. But I want to say, when we think about the cross of Christ, one of the first things that comes to our mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Well, the Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul said, Christ didn't send me to baptize. He said, he sent me to preach the gospel. Amen? Not with the wisdom of man's words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And the other day I was thinking about this verse and where the Bible says that in this particular chapter, chapter 1, 17, 18, 19, where the Bible says that he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. Oh, Brother Sexton, as we look at a lot of preachers, I don't know how it is with you, but with me, the other day I was in a group of preachers. I looked at those brothers, I said, you know, I just need to go dig a hole and crawl in it. Amen. I'm unworthy to be amongst them. Amen. Some men with doctor's degrees and nurse's degrees, amen, and any other kind of degree you want to call it, and men that can fire up and let it rip when they're preaching. And now I'm looking at those men, many of them supporters. I thought, you know, I just don't need to be here. These men, with their great swelling words, I can turn communities around. But yet me, in my feeble way, my feeble accent, I have no ability. But I was reminded that God did not choose men with great swelling words to perform. Amen. He chose the weak and the feeble things. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful tonight that God, He could have chosen the mighty. He could have chosen a man, a great Asura. But He chose men and women, brother and sister tonight, that had no abilities to perform what He wanted. Why? So that He could and would get the glory. Amen. Amen. And that excites me tonight. Because when I look at the work that God has allowed us to do in Papua New Guinea, that we've seen over 2,000 folk come to know Christ as their Savior at one time. We saw 500 at one time. Could you imagine that? 500 folk coming to Christ at one time, showing the burning hell for Him there in the town of Kimby. But brother and sister, I take no honor and take no glory in that. All I can say in His churches like you that pray and give, and as we pray, God empowers us, enables us to be able to preach. As I'm standing there in the market in the middle of town, and Pope that there, it's not the, you know, I in myself, I want to run away and hide. You're looking at 1,500 people, 500, 1,500 people standing around town. Like a little old microphone, is that thing going to work? And I'm standing there, and I said, well, am I standing straight? Or, is my shirt tucked in? And the wind's with my, you know, you got all these. And then when you start to talk it, you know that you know their language, but you know that your dialect maybe, or how you speak, it may not go across right to those people. Are they going to laugh at me? And yet God takes away all of those thoughts and enables you to be able to preach the Word of God and enables you to be able to become a blessing to them. You see, what is our relationship to the cross? I say, first of all, that it's a preaching relationship. When we think about the cross of Christ, it ought to cause us to have a desire to preach or tell others. Or the word preach in New Guinea, we use the word out and talk, or talk out. For the women, we say talk out. Amen. For the men, we say out and talk, because the word for preaching is out and talk. So the women, they don't preach. Amen. Someone tried it, but we cut them down quick. Amen. And so they would say out and talk. And so it would cause us to preach the Word of God. In this, we see a friend, the cross. We see salvation. Amen. And our relationship to the preaching, for the preaching of the cross in the parish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Not only do we see in 1 Corinthians 1:17 the preaching of the cross as a matter that it brings salvation, but we see in Galatians 6 and verse number 14 what our relationship should be. When we think about the cross, it ought to cause us to praise the cross, or praise in the cross. Amen. Now, we don't praise the cross, but we praise what happened on the cross. The cross does not save. That's the Catholic's attitude. Amen. It's the Christ of the cross that saves. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Paul, he didn't say save in the cross, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. as a religious attitude. Our glory is not in the cross. Our glory is in the Christ of the cross. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that Christ carried a cross, but he carried one physically, but he also carried one spiritually. Amen? The cross that Christ carried spiritually was the fact that he bore our shame. He died for our sins. He carried our pain. That became a weight, a burden upon him, if you will. It is the cross of Christ, the pain that he bore, the shame that he bore. Him hanging there was a symbol of what he, that symbolizes as to what he did for you and I. He paid our debt. It was not only was a symbol. Don't mistake me. I'm not saying that it's not important. What he did was reality. If he had not died, if he was not nailed to the cross, we could not be saved. Amen? But it was a reality, but within that reality, there was a story that was told. That's why I use the word symbol. There was a story that was told. You can see the very fact that Jesus Christ loved us and died for us and shed his blood for us. That is what the dying of the cross, or dying of Christ on the cross represents or symbolizes. That he loved us. It typifies or it tells the story that Jesus loves us. Amen. And so, when I use the word symbol, I'm not saying that it's of no effect. I'm for sake of another word to use, if you will. Amen? I said I'm not very educated. Amen? You understand what I'm saying tonight? That the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is this cross that we don't praise the cross, but we praise the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. Amen. And so, in this we see the matter of separation. As separation, Christ is separated from his Father. Amen. And it also separates us. When you are saved, you are separated from this world. When you are saved, many times families are separated. Many times wives and husbands are separated. The cross separates. Not only do we, and we need a praise, there's a praising of the cross in that aspect. And then in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, verses that we showed on our slide tonight, our relationship to the cross, when we think about the cross of Christ, it ought to cause us, as a church, as a whole, as individuals, to publicate or publish the cross. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This speaks of the sending forth of the gospel. Amen. We have that right. We have that responsibility. As you look over the web and you read different papers that you pick up here and there, you see churches that talk about the Great Commission and they drop off the name church. Maybe they have the title of Pentecostal or Nazarene, even Catholic with it. And they say our Great Commission is publishing the good news. And to be honest with you, that kind of disturbs me. Because Matthew 16:18, the Bible says, and upon this rock I will build my church. It didn't say he would build his churches. You study the life of Christ. You study the preaching of Christ. You study the life and the preaching of John the Baptist. They fit in together. We need a pattern our ministry like that too, don't we? Amen? Yes, that's right. And that's what we teach the people in Papua New Guinea. We teach them to go into debt and into the reasons as to why Jesus chose John. And we talk about his life and his physical relationship and how it relates to John was in lineage, or his father Zechariah, the high priest. He was in lineage to become a high priest when Zechariah passed off the scene. John and Jesus were cousins. That baptism of Jesus by the hand of John recognized and took the mantle, if you will, that was to be laid upon John. Jesus takes it. I mean, there's a lot of story in there, and then you can read my story wrong if you're careful. But that's the reason. Some of the reasons why Jesus chose. Why all of those things worked out like it did. And yet we, the Bible says that we are priests. Amen. Through that baptism when we get saved and when we are baptized, we say that we believe Jesus Christ and we're following Him. We're priests and prophets, priests and kings unto Him. Amen. And so we, that inheritance, and so there's a lot in that, just bits and pieces that, for you. But the publishing of the cross, we see that there's a sending force of the gospel. Then in Matthew 16, verse number 24, we see Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a partaking of the cross. We, when we see the cross, we cannot help but think within ourselves that we too must carry the cross as Jesus carried. Amen. There's a cross for each one to follow, and each one to carry. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, I'm skipping through these last ones. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, there's the power of the cross. The Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It speaks about being filled with the Spirit. You see, brother and sister, tonight, unless we are filled with the Spirit of God, it is impossible for us to be able to do the work of God in Papua New Guinea. It is impossible for us to do the work of God here in the United States of America. It is impossible for your pastor to continue doing the work that God's called him to do without being filled with the Spirit. There's a power in the cross. When we reminisce over the cross, when we think about the cross of God, we must be reminded of what Paul said in verse 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's where we find our power at. Amen. And once again, I make the statement, it is not the physical cross. It has no power within itself. The cross has no power within itself. It's the work that Jesus Christ did. And what it represents. And I said symbolized before. What it represents. That cross represents the fact that there's power in Jesus Christ. Amen. We see in Colossians 1 verse 20. That there's peace in the cross. This talks about supplication. Amen. Our prayer. We find the fact that, I don't know about you, but I think about the cross. It drives me to my knees. It causes me to want to pray. Pray for who? Pray for myself. Pray for the churches that support us. Pray for the folk in Papua New Guinea. Amen. We see many times headed down the highway, we see the Catholics carrying a cross. And we hand out tracts and we tell them that it's not the cross. You need the Christ of the cross. What is our relationship to the cross? And I find lastly tonight, Luke 23:34. There's a pardon from the cross. Amen. I'm glad there's a pardon from the cross. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. The Bible is every word of God is pure. Every word of God is good. Amen. Yeah, every verse, every word, it all points and goes back to the cross of Christ. But I've been thinking lately that of all of the words that Jesus Christ spoke while He hung on the cross, there's one, in my opinion, that wins them all. It's when He said, Father, forgive them. Amen. He made the statement to John about behold your mother, to Mary, behold your son. He said, Father, he said, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that he said, but he made a comment to the thieves that were hanging with him today, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's wonderful. But you know, when he said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that hold, to me, that holds more weight than the rest of them. Amen? There's forgiveness. There's a pardon that comes from the cross. I don't know what that does to you, but when I see the cross, I'm reminded of Jesus Christ. That He said, "Ben, you're forgiven." That cross, it may symbolize, but it tells me there's a voice that comes ringing out over that cross. As in my mind, as I imagine it, as I see crosses and churches that are headed down the highway, and I see the cross, or when I read in a book, or when I open the Bible, it doesn't have a cross, but when I read the word cross, when I see the, if the Pope has a symbol of the cross, when I see that, in my ears, it comes a ringing. "Father, forgive Ben, for he knows not what he does." I know where I was at. I know how wicked and vile and wretched and how lost I was. I know that I deserve to have been dead in hell tonight. They say with the back broke, amen. But I just deserve to be in hell tonight. But when I think about the cross, I hear the words that come in from that cross. "Father, forgive Ben Andrews." He did not know what he did. He doesn't know what he's doing. On August 15, 1985, I heard that voice loud and clear. And I turned a deaf ear. I turned it to it and I heard the words, "Forgive him." And I received that forgiveness. And as a result, when I look at the cross of Calvary tonight, I'm reminded, there's a preaching involved with the cross. Amen. I ought to praise the Christ of the cross. I need to be busy publicating or telling the good news or getting out and talking. Preach the word of God. And I need, brother and sister, to partake. I need to carry the cross too. Amen. That's a work for me to do. Father, tonight we want to thank you and bless you for the privilege of being here at Richfield Baptist Church. I pray that you'll take this message tonight, and you'll encourage these people. You'll help them. Help them understand the Father tonight. That the cross, when we say cross, we are thinking of Jesus Christ and the work that He done. We know within the wood, there is no power. But within the cross of, or within Jesus Christ in His blood, there is power tonight to save sinners and revive people. When we come and do business with you, we're coming not as not to bow to a cross, but to bow at the foot of Jesus and ask Him power in our life. I pray that you'll do what needs to be done and what you set out to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask you if you would to bow your heads tonight, and maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart tonight as Brother Andrews was preaching. And if He did, would you be honest enough in your heart to be obedient? While Brother Allen gets a song and sings a verse or two for us, you obey the Holy Spirit of God if He's spoken to you. Brother Allen, you sing to us. Thank you. thank you, Brother Andrews, for the good word of God tonight. And you be sure and let him know if you appreciated the preaching, you let him know that. I know that'll help him, and let him know you'll be praying for him as he gets ready to go back to New Guinea. All right, is all hearts and minds clear tonight? Is that word on anybody's heart before we go? All right, let's stand to our feet. Ask Brother Steve Lynn if he'd